All right, here we are, ESPN Game Night. It's Matt McLaren. It's Tim McMahon rolling with you till 9 o'clock tonight. We'll get into whatever in the world that was at Ohio State coming up here in about 20 minutes. But right now, we welcome him from the MMQB, where you read his work right in the new Monday Morning Quarterback articles there. It is the greatness of Albert Breer.
I prefer to call him a poor man's Peter King. Albert Breer, how you doing, brother?
Nice. Thanks for the introduction, Tim. I appreciate you.
Hey, you were able to sit down with Dak Prescott in what you described as a spacious Residence Inn room, which, yeah. You know, I mean, spacious. Wow, it's Residence Inn. It's not the Four Seasons.
If I had to bet on one detail, you'd give me crap over it. That would probably be it.
It ain't the Four Seasons. My goodness.
I don't think I overdid it. It was like five words, so we can settle down on that.
But seriously, you sat down with...
It was bigger than the Residence Inn rooms I usually sit.
Fair enough. You sat down with Dak out there in Oxnard. What was the biggest takeaway from your one-on-one conversation with him?
I think that he was willing to take on all the blame, you know, and that, like, he recognized that he didn't play as well last year as he did as a rookie, and... that he's taking steps to fix that. And I think, you know, when you're talking about a team that's, like, had a serious drain in leadership over the last few years. Now, Dez isn't in that category, but Witten and Romo certainly were. You know, and you're thrusting a guy who's 24 years old into that spot. A big part of that is going to be that guy's got to be accountable to everybody else. And that guy's got to be accountable for what he does. And so I thought it was interesting that, A, he acknowledged that he hadn't played as well, and, B, he put it on himself. And he didn't blame the circumstances because there were excuses there for him, a lot of them, that he could have made, whether it was the health of the team, Zeke's suspension, you know, Dez not playing as well. There were a zillion things he could have pointed to, and he pointed the finger at himself. And so that's at least a good sign that, you know, there's a lot of work being done to fix.
You kind of pointed out in the article there that Jason Witten, in Dak's own words, really, had called him a couple of days before his retirement speech in a passing of the torch, so to speak. And, you know, I think a lot of fans believe that Sean Lee is kind of the guy. He's been here for a long time. He's one of those leaders. And I know there's a group of leaders. But what is it that you've seen about Dak that makes him that next leader of the next generation of Cowboys?
Well, I think it's everything you've heard. You know, I don't think you turn someone into that, but I think they sort of have to be that, especially at that position, because you know, everybody else in the locker room is going to feel like the quarterback gets special treatment. They're you know, that position's almost become a little separate from the rest of the sport. So there's going to be a close eye with other guys in the locker room on how that guy carries himself. So I almost think it's more important that the leadership coming from that guy is natural and not forced. And that's what he was coming out of Mississippi State. I mean, and Tim, you've been around the team enough. You hear Garrett and the Joneses and other people in that organization say that, you know, he's rare in that category. I think that was there, you know, and I think everybody knew that was there. It was a matter of eventually growing to the point where he could be more vocal and more forceful about it. And I think that's part of what he's working through now. Where he can, you know, take that quality that he has and really put it to work. And so, you know, I think if he's going to be more forceful with his teammates, he's got to be accountable for himself, and he recognized that. You know, I think that there is a difference in the way that he's led this year, and a huge, huge part of that is because the Cowboys really need him to be that leader. You guys mentioned Sean Lee. That guy, you know, Sean's on defense. And so if you look at the offense, you've got the offensive lineman, and then it's really Dak. And so, you know, I think that this is probably where you're going to see Dak's greatest strength, you know, that leadership quality come out.
Talking to Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated's Monday Morning Quarterback, and it's the Dak discussion. Breer just had a one-on-one Dak discussion with Dak. Now, look, the leadership, I don't think there's any questions about his potential there and his ability to, you know, even at this young age, kind of step in to that vacancy and that role. The questions are, is Dak Prescott the quarterback, the guy we saw for the first year and a half, you know, this phenomenon, or, you know, were these flaws that were exposed, you know, are these warts that we saw in the last half of last season, is this the league catching up to them, you know, or are these things that just kind of took some time to be exposed? What is your opinion on that, and, you know, what's kind of the opinions of people you talk to around the league?
My opinion on it is that a lot of it last year had to do with environment. And, you know, look, I mean, they had a great running game, a great consistent running game in 2016. They weren't playing from behind a lot, which, you know, helps manage the game in a different way. You know, Dez was probably a step faster than he was in 17. Witten was a step faster than he was in 17. And so you had circumstances around him that made it a lot easier for him to play. And so I'm not saying it's a mirage, like how good he was in 2016 was, there was anything fake or phony about it. It just happened under different circumstances. And so, you know, when you're playing from behind more, when guys are hurt, when the offensive line shuffling pieces, now more of it's going to fall on the quarterback. And so I think that that's a huge part of what Dak went through. And, you know, maybe some of the growing pains that he would have went through as a rookie, we didn't see because the environment around him was really, really good. And, you know, he mentioned that, like, when we talked, you know, he said, you know, getting into some of those spots where, you know, either you're behind or things aren't quite right around you. Yeah, he felt like he tried to do too much instead of playing point guard the way that he did in 2016. So I think that's all part of the growth for him. And I think if everything's right around him, he can be really, really good. What separates the great quarterbacks, I think, is when things aren't perfect around him, when you lose a player or two, you can lift everybody up. And whether or not Dak can be that kind of quarterback, I think still remains to be seen.
Now, obviously, you know, they're hoping Tyron Smith stays healthy. Zeke stays out of trouble, stays on the field, and if that's the case, then you can expect the Cowboys to have a dominant running game. But are there? Do the Cowboys have the weapons in the passing game to make it possible to really evaluate Dak as a quarterback this season, as is necessary given, you know, where he is in his rookie contract?
I don't think Dez is that huge a loss. Because we're not talking about losing the Dez from 2014. We're talking about losing the Dez from 2017. And I think the league is telling you right now what kind of player everyone thought he was last year. And I think the Cowboys believe that not having to worry about going to him every three or four plays and looking in his direction every three or four plays is going to help Dak get back to playing the position like a point guard a little bit more and be a little bit more of a distributor. Is it going to be good? Is what they have going to be good enough? I think a lot of that's going to depend on the development of young players like Swain and Gallup, like who they really think highly of, and who have had good springs and a good beginning to the summer, but we haven't seen in real live game action yet as much. And so, to me, it's a hard question to answer because they're, you know, going to be relying on some guys who weren't there yet. And a couple of those guys, you know, like I think Gallup's at the top of the list, you know, they think he's got great potential, but we just don't have any evidence of it in an NFL setting quite yet.
Talking to Albert Breer here on ESPN Radio 103.3 FM, of course, from the MMQB. Is this a make-or-break year for Dak in the sense that the front office looking at this, and if so, what do they feel like they need to see? Does he have to go back to that 2016 form for them to feel confident moving on into the future with Dak?
Well, they have the franchise tag in their back pocket, and that kind of works against Dak, you know, whereas if they're still in sort of wait-and-see mode after 2018, they can always say, well, why don't we just let 2019 play out, and then we get the franchise tag if we need it. You know, like the Niners were in that situation last year where they were, when they traded for him, they were looking at the idea, okay, if we haven't learned enough, then we're going to tag him. Garoppolo plays out of his mind for five games, and they wind up paying him. You know, so I think that that's sort of where the Cowboys are at right now. The question is going to become, at what level do you pay him at, and at what level does he want to be paid at? You know, right now that the bar is at $30 million, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to push that bar to $32 or $33 million. Then next offseason, you're going to have Carson Wentz and Jared Goff eligible for deals. So what if those guys get paid? I mean, we could talk about the number for quarterbacks being $35, $36 million by the time we get to the middle of the next offseason. And
but is Dak in that conversation?
And see, here's the problem, Tim, is that, like, the problem is that how often do you really see quarterbacks sign B-level contracts? It doesn't happen very often, right? You're either in or you're out. Like, it's just, I mean, like what Alex Smith got in Washington, mm-hmm. you know, what you saw Kirk Cousins right. get, what we saw Jimmy Garoppolo get. I mean, Garoppolo is the highest paid player in the history of football for a few weeks. Then it's Cousins, and now it's Matt Ryan. It's just, like, with quarterback contracts, there's not, like, an A, B, and C level. It's like you're either in or you're out, you know, and generally the guys who come up get paid at the top of the market. And so I just – That's why I think there's a question there if you're the Cowboys, because I mean, would Dak be willing to accept, say, $25 million a year if the market's at 35? I mean, history tells you no. History tells you you're going to have to, if you have a starting quarterback that you're trying to extend and build your franchise around, then you have to pay him at the top of the market.
Now, you, as an Ohio State homer, and I'll spare you the whole Urban Meyer.
I knew this was coming, too.
No, I'll spare you. For the record, we've discussed over text message. You're embarrassed by the little protest there, but Zeke's daddy was there wearing that number 15 jersey that I know you've probably got in your closet. You've watched Zeke since he was at Ohio State. Certainly know him, know his game well. You know, based on your stop in Cowboys camp and kind of what you saw and what you heard, what are your expectations for Zeke this year?
I think the expectations should be really high for Zeke. There's going to be a lot of opportunity, obviously. I think part of making up for losing Witten and to some degree Dez is going to be Zeke contributing in the passing game and the Cowboys trying to control games with their running game. And so I think Zeke is going to be kind of the focal point of the offense in 2018. And I think, you know, when you watch him, it's interesting. When the people I talk to there, you know, there was a bounce in Zeke's step when he was a rookie, and he seemed to always be having a great time. And you don't see that now. But last year, I think the people there saw somebody who was a little lethargic and let things get to him a little bit. And had all that weighing on him, and it affected him. And I think the feeling is now, like, he's not the bubbly kid he was 2 years ago, but he's in shape. There is, like, kind of a hop in his step, and he is, it seems, determined to show everybody that he's the same player he was 2 years ago. And so I think you're going to get an angry player this year and a guy who's out to prove himself. And let's remember this, too. Like, he's eligible for a contract after this year also. And we just saw what Todd Gurley got. And, you know, you're going to see more running back contracts like that. What does Le'Veon Bell get next year? So, you know, I'm sure that got Zeke's attention, too. I mean, he could be playing for a lot of money this year.
All right, Albert, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Breer.
All right, there he is. Albert Breer from the MMQB on Sports Illustrated.